The revolution will not be televised. The revolution is here.
That's fine. Well, we started, yeah. So we're good.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the Knuckle Sandwich Podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Stevenson. This is the best intro I've ever done. I'm usually really bad at this.
It's impressive.
And my guest this week is Kevin Berntson. Berntson.
Let me correct you. Berntson.
What did I say? Brentson?
Yeah, something like that.
Fucking idiot. You can cuss too with these.
Oh, good.
I like it. I like it to be totally uncensored.
I don't cuss, but yeah.
You've cussed like 4 times since you've been here, just not on air.
That's what I meant. I don't cuss on air.
Okay. Well, there you go. Kevin is a fellow alumnus of the prestigious Groundling Sunday Company. And he is also was just on Private Practice last night on ABC. What did you do on that show?
Played a guy who has a premature ejaculation problem.
Are you please seriously?
I am.
That was what you played last night.
Yes.
Were you like the comic relief of the episode?
I was supposed to be. Not sure if it came out that way. But the woman I was in the scene with was super nice, beautiful actress.
Who?
And I almost prematurely ejaculated like on
who
set.
Who was it?
Her name is Kaylee Olson or something. I don't know. She's some southern actress. She's a beautiful, blonde, really nice woman from the south. And I had a great time. She was really nice to me.
Awesome.
But there's a difference between people who are regulars on TV. I saw that. I look like a very ugly man on television. And in real life, I feel like I'm average, you know. But like on TV.
I'm not going to rate what kind of good looking guy you are.
I was kind of hoping you would. But okay, keep going. Never mind. Keep going.
But you are also currently can be seen in a commercial for, and I've forgotten what the product is now. What
Progressive.
Is
with
that's
the,
right.
With the great
with,
Stephanie
with the great
Courtney.
Stephanie Courtney, yes. God, kudos.
Oh, that was a good one. And you know I'm a fan of your barbecue commercial.
Oh, please.
I'm not kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, this man was so good at commercial, I actually was like moved to compliment him. And that's a commercial.
That's a commercial.
Yeah. But
that's like we'll say thing because your commercial...
Subtlety.
Your commercial is good as well.
Thank
you. It's very... And anybody who's listening to this who is an actor in Los Angeles, it's extremely impossible to find... a commercial spot that actually has like funny dialogue.
Well, I improvised the last line in the audition. They ended up using it, so
it's nice when they actually do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's rare. So
they did the same thing with the Kingsford spot.
I would imagine so.
Yep,
because anyway. We are funnier than the writers.
Yes. You can also, we currently see Kevin in, what's the show you're doing tonight at Theater Sound?
Every Friday night at 11 p.m. we're doing an improvised zombie musical with Improvatorium, the cast of Improvatorium.
That sounds amazing.
It Why actually... Even,
what is the title of the show?
We don't have one yet, but there's various suggestions, you know, 28 Zombies Later, you know, that kind of thing.
Zombieland. Whoops, it's already a movie.
How to Become a Zombie Without Really Trying, like that.
Oh,
kind of
I like
stuff.
That.
I like that idea
like
too. But
how to Succeed as a Zombie Without Really Trying.
Yes,
that would work.
I kind of threw that out there.
So that'll be every Saturday night?
Friday night at 11 p.m. Please come check it out.
Yeah,
Improvatorium Santa Monica, just west of Vine.
Awesome.
Theater
and to continue the plug portion of the show, I believe that we are actually both starting Puppet Up training on Tuesday.
Can't wait. I'm nervous, but
I thought you wince as if you were like, I can't make it.
No, I'm
like,
going.
Since you just heard that like I was doing it too, you were like, I actually just remembered I can't this Tuesday.
You know what? It's going to be, this year's bad for me. No, I'm very excited to start it. It's a craft that I respect, puppeteering,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. Because improv is hard enough doing it, you know.
Without having like your arm up something.
Yes.
So look for us in the Puppet Up show 3 years from now. That's how long
the traveling Puppet
that's
Up
how
show.
Long the training is going to take.
Exactly.
Anyway, so that's the whole spiel. That we have people who just tune in just to hear people's credentials.
Okay, I'll see you later.
And then they tune out. So thanks for those people. And we go. So now let's talk sports. It's a big sports week. I don't know why. Isn't it always a big sports
week? People are always saying that on talk radio, yes.
Isn't it always like funny like on ESPN when they're like, oh, big games this week in college football? And it's like, oh, is that because you have like a broadcast stake?
Exactly.
And because there really wasn't any big games in college football last weekend.
I'm surprised.
That's just my opinion.
I couldn't agree more. Especially, we're coming to the end of a big sports week. I mean, mm-hmm. The World Series. Don't pretend like every week is, you know.
Do you have any sort of feeling towards the... Who won the World Series?
You know what? Moderately. I'm a Dodger fan, so obviously I kind of wanted the Phillies to get punished for beating my Dodgers. I'm not like, oh, they're representing the league that my team.
Yeah, I hate that. That's shit. Who cares?
Bullshit.
Oh, the National League representative. Let's have them win.
However, so dumb. And my friend who's a Dodgers fan was like, I like it when the Yankees win. I like when the big franchises win, like the Celtics, Lakers. I don't like it. I'm an underdog guy. And I don't like the fact that A-Rod and Jeter, it's just accepted. It's acceptable that they were just, you know, bought and installed. And that
I got to say, I hate the fact that A-Rod has a ring. I hate the fact that Mark Teixeira has a ring.
He abandons the Angels. It drives me nuts, and it just sucks that the Angels and the Dodgers are going to be like second fiddle for several years to come.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, it's like I would love to have like one of these guys. I guess CC Sabathia kind of did in his press conference. I would love to have one of these guys just walk up when they sign with the Yankees, just be like, look, they paid me the most.
Exactly.
Like, look, you guys can ask me all these questions as to why I'm here in New York, but they gave me like a shit ton of money, and I'm not an idiot.
But that is the problem with baseball for me.
It's me too.
It's like the Kansas City freaking Royals will never be interesting to me.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are already out of the pennant race the moment the first pitch is thrown to start the season.
Absolutely,
off.
If not before. Mm-hmm. And it is a waste of my time until, you know, kind of the end. And it kind of gets interesting in baseball, the drama between pitches. I do forget it. Every October
during
it comes
the October,
around.
Yeah, because everything means something.
It means something.
It's not like you're playing game 73 in June.
Right.
And it's like, oh, there's 100 more games to play.
But without a salary cap, and who would have thought, you know, that a salary cap would be so. But, you know, it keeps it mildly interesting. Every team has a chance. So, fuck the Yankees.
Yes, fuck them in the butt.
And moving on from
moving
baseball.
Moving on, done. That was
done. It was pretty painless there.
You don't have to talk so close into the mic if you don't want to.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is my posture.
Eventually, this is going to be on camera, so everyone gets to.
I just want to make sure
back,
I'm heard more than
you.
Yeah,
people can see you doing like your microphone pose. So let's talk. So you mentioned the Dodgers. You are actually like me. And like my other guest, Roy Jenkins, actually from Southern California.
That's correct.
You were from Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills, went to school in Calabasas. My mom was a teacher.
What school's in Calabasas?
Calabasas High.
Oh, rock on. CHS.
Yeah. Went to school with Eric Menendez of the Menendez brothers. He was on the tennis team when I was there. And
Did you play tennis?
Yes, I did. And
do you know that Roy played tennis?
I could see that.
You are the second high school tennis player I've had on my show. Aren't you lucky?
Shortest one as well, I'm sure.
That was actually one of the questions I asked Roy was, at 6'7" in high school, when people were just like, holy fuck, I don't want to play tennis against this like giant.
He's enormous. Yeah. I was Michael Chang without the quickness.
Or the Asian heritage.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
not at all.
I'm
half
so.
Mormon, half Jewish. It's very disturbing.
That is a very, very weird mix.
Thank you.
What part of are you Mormon or Jewish? I would assume you're not Mormon.
My mom is Jewish,
My
mom is Jewish, and my dad is a ex-Mormon, I should say. But all my family is Mormon on that side, and great people. But we just don't talk politics or religion.
Or religion.
Or sports, because they don't know anything about sports. Which
they're
is
not even BYU? Aren't they required to know how BYU football is?
They all went to BYU, but they don't know shit about sports. It's amazing.
That is weird. Yeah. Well, God bless the Jews, then.
Amen.
The Jews know their sports.
We do. We can't play them, but we know our sports.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That segues perfectly into the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes,
now, you're
right.
A big-time Lakers fan.
How can you not be? I mean,
there's plenty of people who can tell you why they
can't. Okay, you're right. You're right. But unlike the fucking Yankees, you know, Mitch Kupchak built this team. Thank you, Mitch, by the way, for succeeding when I had completely dismissed you, you know, five or six years ago.
I gotta say, I used to work for the Lakers, and yeah, that was a treat being a Laker fan my whole life and then actually working for the franchise. And I was there when Mitch signed Gary Payton and Karl Malone. And I was there, and it was like everyone loved Mitch, and it was just like we had a congratulatory party for him and all this stuff. And that's my dog Zoe.
Oh,
she can't speak though, so don't worry about it, guys. And and then it was like the next year we traded Shaq, and it was like Mitch Kupchak is the biggest asshole, and everyone just had like a huge problem with him. But what it's like in hindsight, if you look at Shaq play now, it's like it's clear like they probably didn't get the best deal for him. However, like it's clear the Lakers were like, okay, he is definitely on the decline. Let's dump him and let's rebuild this thing on the fly, which is what they clearly did. So
it was an unnecessary, or it was a necessary thing to do. It's look, Jerry Buss, I see him at the Bicycle Casino because I play poker sometimes. You do? I admit, yes. $40 no limit, absolutely. And later. I see Jerry Buss. The guy's a poker player. He knows what he has to do. You're not going to pay an aging, lazy, annoying guy who's can't get along with you. Anyone who read Phil Jackson's book knew the situation was untenable.
I worked for the Lakers that year.
I can tell, bro. I can just tell. But you know, Kobe is a narcissist. Was a horrible human being. But they could not coexist. All right. And if you gave Shaq that enormous contract, Kobe would have been resentful. Look, it worked out. We got Lamar Odom. There's no championship without Lamar. Plus, it led to us sucking for a year and getting Andrew Bynum, people. So
you are like heated about this. Well, I am. Get angry.
People did not like the Bynum pick, and I remember going like, I just had a feeling about him, and I loved him.
I saw a little bit of his workout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was okay with the pick.
Of course. I mean, it's like you got to gamble at that point.
Why not?
You know? And it was pretty awesome. So I think the Shaq, I mean, obviously in retrospect, the Lakers won a championship and Shaq won a championship.
Championships or whatever, everyone wins. But to me, like, I will say this, and this is insider information.
Yeah.
I know that we actually, the thing I found so funny about him being in Cleveland now is, oh, hello, dog. She wants attention. He's in Cleveland now because when he was with the Lakers and he asked for a trade, the Lakers actually had three trades that he turned down, and one of them was to the Indiana Pacers, which I'm pretty sure would have gotten us Jermaine O'Neal in his prime, which in hindsight was
thank God
we didn't take it because he's just now healthy again for the first time in a long time. But he refuses. He's like, I don't want to go. I refuse to go to a place that's cold during the season. It's what he said.
I know.
It's so funny. We were so accommodating to him. We like let him pick where he wanted to go, traded him to a fucking warm weather city, and then the second he gets there, it's just like, fuck you, you know, Lakers are idiots. But he turned down a deal to go to a Midwest town, but now he's in a Midwest, like the worst Midwest city.
But he is with LeBron. It's not going to happen for them.
Hold on one second. I got to calm her down. Lay down. Lay down, sweetie.
We take a brief time out.
Hold on, just keep talking. Come here, Zoe.
So, final thoughts. Final thoughts on Mitch Kupchak.
Zoe, come on.
I just, I have to, he learned from the best, Jerry West. Let's face it.
We don't stop recording, we let it go.
Okay. No, but I just have to give props to Mitch Kupchak because he's done a genius job. And, yeah, so Shaq is stuck in cold weather city, in the worst city possibly.
Yeah, have you ever been to Cleveland?
No, I heard it's horrible.
It's just, I mean, it's like, it has like nothing to offer. Like,
yeah.
It's like you're there and it's like, okay, let's go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then it's like,
not
let's do anything else. Go to this cool bar.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess there's like cool little bars and stuff, but it's like, why go to Cleveland? You can go to Chicago, or you can go, I guess Chicago is, in my opinion, actually is the really only other cool big city in the Midwest, because St. Louis can go fuck itself.
Okay, now I'm a Rams fan.
Well, look, I will break it down. The hundreds of listeners of this podcast know that I used to be a LA Rams season ticket holder when they were in Anaheim. We went to every game.
I went to three, and they were the best 3 days of my life.
I was there on my birthday, December 3rd, when Eric Dickerson broke O.J. Simpson's single season rushing record.
Those were the glory years for me, even though we got heartbroken.
I remember it was against the Houston Oilers, too. I remember I was at the game.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember almost every Eric Dickerson highlight. He used to work out at the track at my school in Calabasas. Yeah, he lived in Malibu, kind of near.
Malibu, and then played and worked out in Orange County.
Yeah, yeah, but
athletes are so weird like that. Like Kobe lives in Newport Beach. Like, why would you?
Because if you had a car like that, you would want to drive an hour and a half. I guess
for all of our people who live in, say, New York, it's the equivalent of like I play for the Knicks, but because you have to drive in like a major downtown area, which is if you're going to Kobe's going to a game. So like imagine like if you play for the Knicks, but you live in like, that's a good hour away, like Princeton, New Jersey,
right,
and then like drive to games at the Garden. I mean, it's ridiculous for him to be, but they all do it. I don't understand. Ron Artest lives in Orange County too.
And some of them live in weird places like Santa Clarita, you know, not even Santa Clarita, like way east. Anyway, I don't get the whole geography of where you determine to live, but maybe they're required to spread out over the city.
It just seems to me like if you're going to play for like an LA, like especially if I played for the Knicks and if I didn't have a family, if I was like a single dude,
yeah,
I'm like, why are you not living in Manhattan? Or why are you not living, if you're like, and why? I mean, I guess it makes sense to live in Malibu, but I'd live near the beach, or I'd live like in Hollywood. I'd be like, screw it. If I'm going to be an LA person, I'm just going to.
Lakers work out in El Segundo.
I know. I used to work at the facility.
You've mentioned that. No, was that where you worked?
Yes, we worked the Toyota. It was called the. It's called the Toyota Center now, but it was called something else.
How can you give up that job? Like,
because I'm an actor.
Oh, okay.
It became a lot. It became hard to. I'd have to take work off, and I'd be gone for like 3 hours for an audition, and I just couldn't. I'd have to keep making up like kind of bogus excuses.
Right.
So like with my job now, I just say like, I told them right from the get go, I'm an actor. I'm gonna have to go to auditions, and they were just like, okay, as long as you make the time up, and
nice.
I do. So
good.
Thank you, Sony.
Thanks, Sony.
Consequently, this broadcast is brought to you by the good people at Sony.
Sony, where dreams come true.
As I stare at my Vizio TV. So you grew up in LA, grew up a Laker fan, grew up all LA teams. Correct?
Yes. Although I did not like the Raiders that much. You know, back when I was a youth, the LA Raiders, I rooted for them. They're my third or fourth favorite team, but there was a big rival. We, you know, the Rams were dismissed.
Yeah, I hated,
and you
oh,
had
I hated
to fight
the Raiders.
To, yeah. So, but it, you know, it's all LA, baby. It's the one thing I loved about LA growing up were the sports teams, because didn't really like the people here growing up, even though I now live here. It's a little bit better. But, you know, shopping malls, traffic, pollution. And, but you had the fucking Lakers. And,
yep.
And you had Showtime, and it was
have
the best.
Again.
And we have them
again,
baby. I mean,
yes.
Except this year it may be a long-ass year.
Well, people need to understand, and this segues beautiful into NBA talk, because we are under the first week of the NBA season.
Right.
Actually, it's just a little bit over the first week of the NBA season. And, of course, all the prognosticators are already like, what's wrong with this team? Or this team is playing out of its mind. Like, this, everyone thinks the Celtics have already won the title. And it's like, oh, they're 5-0, they're 6-0. And it's like, oh, my God, they just look unbeatable. And it's like, it's a week. Like, let's just relax a little bit. So I feel the Lakers, Pau Gasol, I mean, they're 4-1 for starters.
I know,
so,
not bad.
Granted, like, they, you know, had to, you know, grind out some overtime games recently this week. But, like, they're, you know, Pau Gasol's eventually going to come back. He makes it. But the problem I have, with the Lakers, I think it's a little bit startling, is their bench doesn't seem to be producing anything right now.
That is an understatement. Yes, no, the bench is a disaster. And
I think Sasha Vujacic, I'm kind of done. I kind of just feel like, why don't you at least just try Adam Morrison?
Oh,
why not?
I was done with Sasha halfway through last year, and I hear he's dating Maria Sharapova.
Well, God bless him for that, but
that's crazy. You know, so some things are happening for him, but
hope so. First of all,
Adam Morrison, though, have you seen? I mean, I have more lateral quickness than he does.
Come on, I figured though, we need somebody.
I love him. I mean,
we
like
need
the guy
somebody.
From college.
We need somebody to actually, and I can say we. I always say this too on my podcast. I don't agree with the people who are like, well, it's not your team.
We're part of a community, dumb shits. I hate when they get mad at that. I always call
my
the
tax
Rams
dollars more. Paid for that fucking arena.
Exactly.
So it's we.
It is we.
But I think we just need somebody off the bench who is like just offense, and like Adam Morrison can hit shots. I just feel like, regardless if he can't guard anybody. Hold on 1 second. Hello?
Oh, I was trying to let your dog out, dude.
Oh, she's in here.
I didn't know you were home, and I knew they had been shut up all day.
No worries.
Charlie, come here.
It's the neighbor.
Oh, that's nice.
The neighbor. We got dogs. We got dogs and stuff. It's good times. That's probably going to send my dog off the... Oh, the door's closed. This is all great stuff for the internet.
Riveting radio.
Well, talk, oh, yeah, we just need someone to hit shots, because I feel like if you don't have anybody off the bench who's going to add any sort of offense, then it's like, you know, what are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to?
What happened to Sasha, though? I mean,
it's all in his head now. I think he just need to either sit him down or make him go play in the D League or something.
Yeah.
He's totally in his head. And the fact that it was that whole machine, he got in his head and he starts, now he's thinking that everything's going to go instead of just shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like you're not going to succeed in that sort of situation.
I'm concerned about Derek Fisher.
Why?
He's the man. I love him. He's getting up there in age. But defensively, I mean, against the Rockets, you know, I loved how he was, you know, they were saying during the break, you know, Derek Fisher was, you know, challenging everyone to stop the layups going on, you know, but the
guy was
blowing by Fisher. I'm like, no wonder he was, you know, demanding.
But it's a little disconcerting to that Jordan Farmar is not like developing his like that much like quickly as we live. I keep saying we as if now that's a way I don't agree with. I was gonna say he's not developing as much as we would like. Like that's a wee where I'm like, no, that's
where you put yourself on the coaching staff.
I'm on the
staff.
Coaching staff watching him. That's a wee, I gotta say that one doesn't really fit. But
yeah.
I have to think that he's not developing as well as the coaching staff
right.
would like.
Well, I'm always gonna defend Farmar. He's from the Valley.
No,
he's,
I love
he's a Valley
I mean,
boy. He's half
he's
Jewish.
A,
you know, we have
oh,
a lot
really?
In common, yes. He is, you know, so
is he
I
really
learned,
half Jewish?
He is half African American, half Jewish, I believe. Yeah, I went to Taft High School, which is in the Valley, and
I'm aware.
Okay,
I'm aware, yes.
You know, but he isn't developing, and I wonder if it's not a mental thing with him as well.
Who
but,
knows? I mean, I just feel like everyone.
We're still okay. I don't give a
I'm
shit.
Still
we
okay,
have Ron
yeah.
our test.
It's just everyone's like, oh, Orlando's bench goes 10 or 12 people, and like, yes, Orlando's bench is pretty deep, and yes, they have like. They're getting play from guys that's just bananas. Like Ryan Anderson is just playing out of his mind, and J.J. Redick is finally putting up numbers, and you know all that stuff is interesting. But I just feel like let the guys in the East, you know, battle each other. We'll come out on top.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, they're gonna battle each other out, but we're getting grinded already just from these, you know, these overtime wins, and you know Dallas and. Freaking Oklahoma City, like
the Thunder,
the mighty Thunder. Although they're improving, whatever.
They
but
are.
Like, but I mean, it just shouldn't be. You know, the Rockets game is an exception. You knew Ariza and Artest, and that was going to be a battle.
Mm-hmm.
But and they're good. You know,
they are quite good. Yes.
You know. So, but I just hope every game isn't like this grind out thing. I don't want us to be worn down. I want Kobe's legs to stay fresh because we're going to need every ounce against the Celtics in the finals. Because
yes,
oh
is.
My God, I hate the fucking Celtics, baby. And I'm so glad this rivalry is kind of back.
It's nice. I think it's actually good for the whole league that, like, these two... I mean, if we could get the Knicks back, that might... But, I mean, the Bulls
Look,
are competitive again.
The Knicks... I mean, what... Back. I mean, they had 2 years that... Oh, I guess they had
yeah,
a couple
of those
years
they were
yeah,
really
the
competitive under Riley.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know, Patrick Ewing always had those teams really, really competitive. But I feel like if you
the
have
Van
the
Gundy
city...
Years, yeah.
If you have the city of New York
Excited.
Activated
yeah.
during... You know, because I lived in there. I lived in New York when the first year that the Nets...
Don't hire Isaiah fucking Thomas to destroy your franchise.
Isaiah Thomas should not... She should just stop working.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Isaiah Thomas is the U2 of... NBA and I think they just need to stop. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love you too. I'm sure you're probably one of them.
You know what? You two has never hit me where it counts. They're like Springsteen for me. I love everything around them.
Yeah.
Like, I love, you know, I'm a huge Beatles, Dylan, all that stuff. But for some reason, U2 doesn't strike me. Isaiah Thomas has some great albums as well. But
he does.
But
he did a great jam.
But it's time to stop. He can jam.
Which is now rest in peace. I'm sorry.
May he rest in peace. How
is
dare
he dead?
You?
I
yeah,
think.
He is.
Okay. Sorry, all the Oklahoma Sooner fans.
All the jazz
off.
Oklahoma Sooner fans. Absolutely.
No, I just feel like you two. I'm just going to go off on a tangent here for a second. I don't get it. Like, I just.
I don't either.
Like, they maybe put out, like, some decent albums around, like, you know, Rattle and Hum and Joshua Tree. But now I just feel like they're just strictly putting out studio albums. And I just feel like at certain points, like, you're just done. You're just
focus on the humanitarian shit.
Like, Bono, you're amazing, person. Just do that. I don't need to hear another, like, fucking U2. And then it's like, oh, God, I'm going to U2 tonight. I'm like, what? Dodger Stadium, I'm sitting up.
Rose Bowl, dude. What are you talking about?
Oh, sorry.
Fucking Rose Bowl. Like, white people just, like,
How are you going to enjoy watching a concert with 100,000 people?
I went to Bonnaroo in Tennessee. And I tried to pretend that Bruce Springsteen was amazing.
Interesting.
And, yeah, and he's kind of the same thing. Although I'm sure if I were in Jersey and wearing a leather jacket and like
drinking
beer,
they
I'm
love
sure it'd be a different
Springsteen
experience.
In
but
New
in
Jersey.
A field of wasteland in Tennessee. You know, you can't get excited about shit. Maybe I'm getting old, but I'm over that whole thing. So no. Yeah, you two, done with you. Have been for about 20 years.
Isaiah Thomas, done with you.
Gonna give you. I'm done with him, but I'm gonna give him one last shot to be the GM of my franchise if I ever own an NBA franchise.
I would never give him.
No, the chance he's to done. Even anything. Magic Johnson has exiled him. Did you hear about that? They're not even friends anymore. Which is
he totally disses him in his book. Which I'm like, it to me, it's like this is should all. Of course, like if Magic Johnson doesn't like you, and believe me, Magic Johnson loves everyone, and I can air quote the word loves and
in every just way.
Know that Magic has been around the block a couple times.
Now I'm not comfortable because I feel like you're implying. Look, Magic is a minor deity in this town, and he deservedly so. I mean, he's an amazing guy,
of course.
Although I hear in pickup games. He cries foul, like, all the time. Like, no matter what.
He's 50 like, years old.
No, but even, like, you know, 10 years ago.
Oh, if you breathed on him.
If you breathe on him, foul, you know. But that's weird. And I kind of like that. It gives him, like, a flaw, which makes him human to me.
Besides well, not the, the fact that he's...
You don't even have to say it. Let's just... He's
just move on.
Yeah, there's no trace of it.
We let Kanye West do all the talking about Magic and his own experiences in life.
Exactly.
And we'll just move and put that aside. Let's get ready for the weekend in NFL
Weekend
football.
In sports, NFL on deck. Why didn't we do it like that?
I don't know. You know what you sound like? Remember Van Earl Wright? Remember that guy?
Van Earl Wright, yeah. Fox Sports News. I thought he was joking. I thought that was a character.
Well, the funniest thing about him is that he used to be on Headline News.
Okay.
Remember they in Headline News when it first came out, it was just like, you know, sports, like every 15 minutes, there was these little blurbs. So he was like perfect doing that because he'd be like, Van Earl Wright, and like, and here, oh, home run. And like all of his goofy talking.
It's like cute. It's cute in a 40-second package.
Well, like when you make him like host a whole like half-hour highlight show, it's like, oh, he's gonna be doing. That's this. Why. That's like Stuart Scott doesn't host SportsCenter every night of the week because then you'd be like, we get it. He hit a shot, and you say, booyah. We get it. Like, Hideki Irabu is gonna. Did I say Hideki Irabu? I meant to say Matsui.
Matsui. Yes. Ooh.
Hideki Irabu.
You threw me back to 2002.
I know.
But yes, I you know. Small doses.
Anyway, let's talk about NFL football.
NFL football, Van Earl Wright.
That's really good.
NFL.
Now you claim to be a Rams. Now we said you said you claim to be a Rams fan,
which is not an easy thing to claim.
It's very hard. It actually feels like being like when they were in LA when they were really bad, and now they're just as bad.
I think they're worse. I think they have less talent than the 1993 through 95 team that left. With, you know, at least we had Jerome Bettis back. Well, we have Steven Jackson
the
now.
Battering Ram, that's what we used
the
to call him.
The battering ram. And they traded him for a fucking second-round pick, and he went on to win
Super
Bowls. That's
what the Rams do. They don't... They got... I feel like the Rams got really, really... They got, like, lightning in a bottle. They got really, really lucky when they had Isaac Bruce. Bruce was on the LA Rams. And they got Torrey Holt. They got lucky with the receiver. And they made that deal to get Marshall Faulk. They traded Edger and James.
That was the only amazing thing that the Rams GMs have ever done.
And then they got lucky because they had a guy on their roster who was a second-string quarterback. They overpaid Trent Green, who clearly was a dumb move because he got injured right away. And then they just get lightning in a bottle.
I disagree.
Kurt Warner's amazing.
I want to just clarify for the record. Trent Green was a great pickup that year. He was having an amazing preseason, hence Dick Vermeil crying at the press conference. We thought we were fucked, we as Ram fans, because we were excited about this offense. We had Martz coming in, you know, it was, and we knew we had some weapons, you know, but, and Marshall Faulk, I remember the buzz around camp was like, this is going to be an amazing
around
game.
Campus.
Around camp, sorry.
It was like around campus.
Oh, I wish I went to Rams University, and I kind of do in my mind.
St. Louis University? The Billikens.
Yeah, I don't even acknowledge they're in St. Louis, to be honest. It is a mediocre town.
I have to tell you, I've been there,
yeah.
And that place sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. And I don't care if everyone listening in St. Louis turns this off because you're...
What about that beautiful gateway to the West?
Oh, it's terrible.
I heard it's beautiful.
And well...
No, I heard it's... Yeah.
It's actually, when I was there, I think I told this story... Again, for repeat listeners, you've heard this story already. I told the story to Roy, but when I was there, I was watching a Monday Night Football game, and it was like after the Rams lost in the Super Bowl, and it was that year that Kurt Warner like started playing like crap, and it was his thumb, and they traded him the next year to the Giants. So I'm watching a game, and I'm in a bar, sports bar watching it, Monday Night Football, place is packed, and I was like talking to some guy at the bar. I'm like, yeah, I know, I used to be an LA Ram fan. And he goes, they're our team now. And I was like, fine, you can fucking have them.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that was a good time to disown them.
Well, no, I actually, the second they left, I stopped.
Okay, good. I should have done that.
I became a Charger fan.
Oh, fuck the Chargers.
Well, I'm from Orange County, so like to me, like I grew up in South Orange County, so like San Diego was just as far away as LA was.
No, you're right.
So and I was like, I guess I'll just be a Charger fan, it's only an hour away, and I've maintained a Charger. But then I learned recently, and actually Roy Jenkins told me this, his podcast was literally the most educational 45 minutes of my life.
I thought this I referenced one would it be. Like I'm, six. I'm a little...
Well, we're referencing okay, them, so going. Maybe we'll see. But he told me that the Chargers actually... I guess NFL teams donate money.
They've donated the most to the Republican Party than any other team. Yeah, Alex Spanos.
And the Rams do the most to the Democratic
Party.
Yes,
but this is over a long span, and a lot of it's players. It's not just, you know, the main guy, but Spanos is a total dick. Plus, they paid for the new stadium. They're using taxpayer money.
Well, no, the new stadium down in San Diego isn't set to go. And this segues into my next wonderful question that I wanted to ask you was... The door is still open for the Chargers to move to Los Angeles.
Not just the Chargers. There's rumors that Jacksonville could move.
The Rams.
Oakland could move back here. You know?
The Rams might move back.
The Rams fucking would, if they moved back here, I'd be so pumped. Oh my
You're
God.
You're like the one person.
But that's it. I do not want 1 cent of my tax dollars going to fund some billionaire.
It's not going to, though. Do you know, with the proposed stadium... It's
isn't that like City of Industry?
The COI, man. COI, y'all. No, because the Ed Roski, the guy who's a developer, he is a former. Well, I shouldn't say former. They're still friends, but he's a multi-billionaire. But he and my dad used to play flag football together.
Whoa!
Like seriously. So like they had like lunch and they talk about it. And it's like he's funding this, and the NFL's like totally behind it, and they're not gonna break ground until they're like. Positive they're going to have a team.
Yeah.
And according to this, this might be insider news I'm breaking here, so don't pick this up nationally. The easiest thing to do is just to buy a team and move them here. And the only team for sale is the Rams. And Ed Roski is actually in one of the bids to buy the Rams.
I have a feeling it will... I did not know that about the Rams because I was so focused on the Rush Limbaugh possible. I would have loved if Rush Limbaugh bought the Rams, by the way, because I could have disowned them cleanly. It would have been a nice
break. You have
clean
every
break.
Reason. Kyle Bowler started 3 games for them. You have every reason to disown the Rams at this point.
I know, but I can't. I couldn't do it because of that, because of the players. Like, but if the owner was Rush Limbaugh, a man who is vile in every sense of the word, you know.
You have a very large conservative audience.
Oh, and I love conservatives. Half my family's conservative. Rush Limbaugh.
My whole family's conservative.
But in particular, so I, no offense to, you know, it's just Rush Limbaugh for me. You know, look, sports transcends politics. Let's face it. You know,
true.
Touché. Exactly. So, you know. Anyway, I just hope the Rams do move back here. I don't think it's going to happen. What are the odds that they're going to move from, you know, Minnesota to L.A. to St. Louis and then back to L.A.? That's very Al Davis.
Al Davis. Al Davis is talking about moving the team. I actually read an article yesterday. About on ESPN about Jacksonville, and Jacksonville to me makes the most sense.
Totally,
because
small market, they're struggling.
They have like 47,000 and it was the article referenced how like the day before last Sunday's game, Georgia played Florida in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. That's the game that they call it, and. They bring in extra seats just for that game.
Wow.
So it's like, so the stadium can seat like 75,000 people. Then just for the Jaguars game, they take all those extra seats out. They put tarps over certain areas and they still don't sell it out.
And that's sad to me because Maurice Jones-Drew.
A UCLA graduate.
A UCLA graduate. And what side of the UCLA-USC divide are you?
Oh, I hate USC.
Thank you. God,
all passion and fervor.
I feel we're like the same person.
Well, here I'll make it awkward. Do you like Notre Dame football?
No.
See, that's where I'm a Notre Dame guy.
Oh, okay.
I love Notre Dame. I love UCLA.
I'm indifferent about
Notre
Dame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, indifferent.
It's usually people either just hate them or love them. There's no like middle of the road.
I'm indifferent. But... I appreciate that they gave me Jerome Bettis and Todd Light. This is what a Rams.
Todd Light. Yes, the old safety
dude, cornerback.
But... Well, he's in the secondary.
Turned, yeah.
Whatever.
But you know, so there's certain players I really love from there.
Well
so
done.
But it's all Rams based. What a I need to look at my life. I need to
you
like,
look at your life, and let's look at your life right now. This segues. God, you're the perfect segues. Let's talk about the NFL matchup.
Let's
this
do
weekend.
It. I have good feelings.
Give
folks.
Me like some kind of fun like radio voice for like let's talk about the NFL matchup.
It's time for hot sports opinions coming to you, Kenny and Kevin. Who's gonna win the matchups this week? Let's take a look at the games.
You know what's funny is I have a twin brother, for real.
Yeah.
And his name is Kevin. So when I hear Kenny and Kevin, it always makes me think of like my dad yelling at me.
Oh, boy.
Hilarious. Okay, so let's start off. I believe it's the home team is on the bottom, I believe, on NFL.com. I believe. Do you know? I think so,
I think it is.
Home team's on the bottom. So we start off with the Washington Redskins going into the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, Washington's coming off its... bye week? No. Yes, it's bye week. So they're nice and rested, but it still doesn't make a difference. They're a team in chaos. Atlanta is coming off the short week with the Monday night win. I have Michael Turner on my fantasy team. By the way, I'm 7-1 in fantasy in a league that is actually pretty, like, really smart GMs.
He plays with the actual NFL GMs.
I'm much smarter than that. But I just want you to know, I'm not fucking around here. You're talking to someone who's actually pretty accomplished in his...
I am all for fantasy football talk on my show.
Okay, I just wanted to... Yeah. But
I actually got kicked out of my league.
But I hate hear... Oh, that sucks. I just want to say, like, sometimes I hear guys on, like, the radio, these... sports geniuses, and they're like, yeah, I'm 2-5 in my fantasy league, and we're listening to them. We're spending our time listening to people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, it's like, just watch any NFL like morning show, like breakdown show the day on Sunday morning, and they're like, and they pick the games and like, let's look at Keyshawn's record. I'm like, I don't want to know what Keyshawn's record is. I could probably guess that Keyshawn Johnson's record is probably not very good.
Right.
Like, give me a break. Keyshawn, just throw me the damn ball.
Oh, that guy's a by the way, ass. I just have I to just to, the only thing I hate more is when the guys on ESPN or NFL Live on ESPN get up in their suits and fucking ties. No, they take the jackets off and they're just in their ties. They roll up their sleeves and then they're acting out these swim moves and these like, you know, suddenly on this like miniature green turf that they try to recreate it like a 10-yard chunk of the field.
Yeah.
It is so annoying and so I can't even listen to the content of what they're saying because A, they're so like in love with themselves holding a football and pretending they're on the field again. Oh boy. Anyway, it's like
have you seen they do now? They do like with EA Sports. They'll put like a digital player in there, and it'll be like, you know, Keyshawn will be like talking. It'll be like, and you know, what's a good person in the secondary who would probably possibly be guarding him?
Terrence Newman.
So I'm here, and Terrence Newman is here, and there'll be like something like EA Sports like digital. And be like, so if he bumps me at the line, and they'll actually do this like full like interactive thing with this like, and it's like they've taken it to a whole level of stupidity.
That's a little more interesting though than
a little bit, but yeah, I hate it when they go like, all right, so Boomer, you're they get like Chris Berman, Boomer, you're Jared Allen,
and
I'm Brett Favre.
You gotta respect the Jets, you know? Oh God. By the way, Tom Jackson, who I used to love, has become insufferable sometimes.
I know. He was hating on Brett Favre so much last week. And I'm like, when Brett Favre won that game big, I almost want to be like, what do you got to say now, Tom Jackson? Go color your hair some more. You guys
seriously
notice that? Colors his hair. Don't think I'm talking right into the mic for this one. Don't think you're fooling anyone, Tom Jackson.
Called out on national internet radio. Okay, hot sports opinions.
So I'm sorry, one more time. Chris Berman sounds like he's like Chris Berman's like 10 minutes away from like all those noises just being fat guy noises. You know how like just fat people make noises like they can't even breathe. Like that's what Berman does.
Seriously, and I don't know between Tom Jackson's over pontificating and Chris Berman's grunt noises with like 4 seconds of pausing in between each noise. Like I don't know how anything is conveyed on that show, but whatever.
Amazing. ESPN, catch it. All right, so I think the Falcons are going to win that game as well.
Falcons should take it, although Matt Ryan's been struggling, but, you know, they'll beat a Washington in disarray.
Arizona versus Chicago. This is interesting because Arizona, I used this. I actually had an audition this week, and I used this actual quote in an audition. Arizona is now more bipolar than Delonte West. Right?
How did you not book that job?
I may have. I don't know.
It's still up in the air.
It's up in the air. It's up in the air. Who knows?
I'm writing it down right now.
Arizona won. They beat the Giants 2 weeks ago, and then they turn around and lose to the Panthers at home. And they've done that twice already this season, where they win, lose, in between a three-game win streak. So they're at. Based on that, this is the week they should win. So I'm going to go say they win this
week. You
know
what? I have a feeling they're going to win too, even though Anquan Boldin is kind of doubtful. I just I don't believe in Chicago right now. Offensive line sucks. Mm-hmm. And even though they're at home, I'm going to pick Arizona as well on that.
Well done.
I think they're due.
I just think Chicago. I think you're right. I've talked about it before on the show, but I think Jake Cutler's a bitch.
He's my fantasy quarterback. But
well, your fantasy quarterback is a bitch.
Man. Yeah, I waited too long to pick a QB, but the rest of my team is stellar. Okay, keep
7-1
going.
7-1.
Exactly.
Houston Texans are riding a 3-game winning streak, actually. Ooh, the headline just changed on NFL.com. 3-game winning streak. Houston is going into Indianapolis.
Well,
it's a tough game.
I had Owen Daniels on my team.
Undefeated, too.
And he was on my fantasy team, top-rated scorer the top scorer for fantasy tight ends. He is now out for the freaking season, which really bums me out.
Owen Daniels for the Texans?
Yes, for the Texans. Mm-hmm. And that is a big loss. However, I just read that the safety for Indianapolis, Bob Sanders,
is out
for the year. That's a big loss. So this could be a shootout.
It really could.
It just sucks for Matt Schaub that he's missing one of his favorite targets because he's got, you know... Kevin Walters not having a good season, and Andre Johnson is the man.
Is a stud.
So it kind of sucks, and
I actually think that Houston's going to win this.
You
game.
Do? I'm going to pick Indianapolis
because I read this stat today. I don't know why. Not that I do a ton of research before I start the show, but I read the stat saying that Indianapolis's passing offense is first in the entire league. Their rushing offense is 30th.
Wow.
And Houston actually has some defensive players who can actually put some pressure on the quarterback. So I think they may have to try to run the ball, and I don't think they can.
Okay, well...
That's my depth NFL analysis,
you know what?
Right there.
I feel like I should pick Houston because what are the odds of Indy, you know, being 8-0?
You already picked Indianapolis.
I'm fine with my pick. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But I'm just saying I probably should pick Houston, but I'm still not gonna, and we'll see who prevails.
Okay, fine. Let's do it.
All right.
Over to my place. We'll... drink beers.
I think I may.
Whee!
I have a show Sunday afternoon.
In the
keep
morning?
Going.
Oh, you're doing... We'll plug that with the end of the show.
Yes.
Baltimore-Cincinnati.
Baltimore-Cincinnati. Cincinnati
one.
Coming off the bye. They have lost their best pass rusher, however. Odom, whatever that guy's name
Lamar
is.
Lamar Odom?
No, not Lamar.
Odell Thurman? No.
No, this other guy. Antoine. Some cool name.
You almost
I can't
said
pronounce.
Antoine, didn't you?
I would have if I had thought of it. But so Cincinnati, they're going to be running with Cedric Benson. I hear Baltimore's pumped up against this. I'm going to pick Baltimore.
Look at you.
And my man Ray Rice, who is my starting fantasy back, who is just getting better every week.
He is doing very well. And I do think that Baltimore is going to give this team a very good game. I think this game is almost a pick 'em. If you were going to go to Vegas right now, I would. This is almost a toss up, and I'm going to take the Ravens as well because actually, no, it's Cincinnati's home. I'm going to take the Bengals.
You're going to take the home team.
I am. I know. Here's a team of who gives a shit. Kansas City versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's in Jacksonville. So, which of course it will be blacked out for all Jacksonville locals to watch the game. We'll not be able to see it. I'm taking the Jaguars. The Chiefs are awful.
Chiefs are almost as bad as the Rams and. Maybe worse. And I'm going to have to go with Jacksonville, although Jacksonville is atrocious.
They're not as atrocious as Kansas City. Kansas
no, they
can't
have
even move
through.
The ball. I mean, they're just really not. They're
but
just, they have nothing.
David, you know, Gerard, I just read it.
He's done. He needs to
stay.
I mean, they basically gave up on Leftwich, which was clearly a good idea because he's not doing anything either. But, I mean... They're talking about drafting Tim Tebow, so good luck, Jacksonville.
Yeah, good luck with that.
This is another wonderful team. The Green Bay is a decent team, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are awful. This is not the week they win. I think Green Bay kicks the shit out of them.
Oh, they're going to kick the shit out of them. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So this is more.
Although, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, he's probable, but...
He'll play. You have to. I think if you're replacing Brett Favre, you have to play like every game your first like 3 or 4 years. Otherwise, there's going to be some pressure on you.
Green Bay's
going to
win. Yeah. Absolutely.
Miami, New England.
See, this is one of those matchups that the East Coast gets all riled up about. And
it's an AFC East matchup. It's
an AFC East matchup and the East Coast frickin' bias that we have to hear about all the time. Mm-hmm. But New England is going to win this at home.
So do I.
Although, I really hope that Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams give them some problems.
I'd like to
see New England struggle.
I love to see Ricky Williams play well. I don't know why. I love it.
Because he smokes the herb.
Because he blows it up. He just smokes the herb as a Buddhist. He's, you might like that.
Absolutely. I am an aspiring Buddhist. And
make that happen, dude.
It's a philosophy. It's not a religion.
It is. It's a philosophy of life.
And he's a cool dude.
I want to hang with that guy. Carolina and New Orleans. This is an NFC South matchup. I think it's at home. I think New Orleans wins.
Oh. Carolina, New Orleans, you're really going out on a limb.
I am. With an undefeated team. I will say Carolina's playing a lot better. They played well against the Delonte West last week. That was my chart. That was back to my Cardinals.
Oh, back to your. I'm going to move on from that. We're moving on. Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to go with New Orleans as well.
Yeah. Well done.
Obviously.
Got to speed it up here.
Detroit. Oh, wow. Okay. Detroit, Seattle.
I introduced the games.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Holy shit.
I just assumed that was the next one.
Okay. The next one is Detroit, Seattle.
Seattle at home. Detroit banged up. Calvin Johnson, maybe. Kevin Smith banged up. I'm going to have to go with Seattle, baby.
Is Hasselbeck playing?
He got banged up last week, but I think he is playing.
He's always banged up. Isn't he permanently banged up?
Yeah.
He shows up to camp and he's already like nursing like a
torn. Oh, he got hammered, though. I saw the shot he took and it was brutal. But
get rid of the ball. Dear NFL quarterbacks, if you guys learn anything from Brett Favre, you get rid of that ball. Even if it's an interception, you're going to play longer.
Or the Mark Bulger, just
hold on to it until you
hold on to it and get destroyed. And
that's what all Rams
career.
Quarterbacks do. That's what Kurt Warner did for. It took Kurt Warner about 3 years to recover being in Mike Martz's system, just getting pummeled week after week after
week.
Well,
now we have the West Coast offense that Spagnuolo, whatever.
Steve Spagnuolo, yeah.
And you're supposed to get the ball really quickly, and he's not even, it's just not working. But we have no receivers. But the point
is. Or offensive line. Our
offensive line is getting a little better this year.
Fantastic. Tennessee, San Francisco. Wow, Tennessee is really bad. And they're starting Vince Young, who is almost as bipolar as the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm going to take the 49ers.
I'm going to have to, my hated 49er rivalry. I'm going to have
too.
To. Okay, good. Too. We hate them. I'm going to have to go with the 49ers. Alex Smith, it's fun to see him kind of make
it
a comeback.
It is nice to see him make a comeback.
I like when people suffer and then like there's kind of a
I like when people,
redemption.
I don't like when people like peg number one draft. I actually talked about it on the show before too, but I don't like when people give all kinds of drama to number one draft picks when it's like it's all their fault. No, like give them some coaching. Like develop. If you don't develop them at all, then they're not going to become good players.
The guy had like 15 different offensive coordinators in the span of 2 years.
And the one offensive coordinator who is fucking, I hate, he's my coach. I hate North Turner. I say it every week on this show. I hate him. I want the Chargers to fire him. I hate North Turner.
Yeah.
But he's a good offensive coordinator, and he played great under North
Well, you know
Turner.
The Peters principle, everyone rises to their level of incompetency. Because think about it, if you're a good assistant general manager, they're going to think, oh, he'd be a good general manager. So eventually you get promoted and promoted until you're not that good anymore, and then it's hard to fire someone who's already in place. So North Turner, great, and Mike Martz, great offensive coordinator, should not be a head coach.
Well, some people, it's a difference between like when you're an offensive coordinator, I noticed I used to be an assistant basketball coach at the collegiate level.
Nice.
And when you're an assistant, you kind of have like set rules, and you have kind of set kind of jobs that you do. And you really just, if you're a really good assistant, you really know your job and you do it really well. When you're a head coach, you have to do those, you kind of usually do that same job that you were doing before, but now you have to manage egos and do all this other stuff that you did not have to do at all. Like, because if a player really had a problem, you can just go like, that's what the coach says. That's what the coach says.
Well, that's why I wonder how Kurt Rambis is going to do to sidetrack into basketball. I wonder how he's going to do in Minnesota. Because I think he was really good assistant coach.
Oh,
sorry.
Keep going.
It's
coming up later.
All right, good. Here we go.
San Diego, the Giants. The Giants have lost 3 in a row, and the Chargers are actually playing quite well, and they're my team, so I'm going to say they're going
to win. On the road, I'm going to have to agree with – You know what? I'm going to go with the Giants on this one.
They're really tough. I respect that pick. I'm only taking it because the Chargers are my team.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it's going to be very close because I think San Diego's, you're right, I think they're kind of rolling right now. Mm-hmm. And the LaDainian seems to be healthy.
He does. He played well like the past 2 weeks, finally.
I just, I can't imagine that Eli's going to keep playing this shitty for that long. And now he's home.
It's just him. I just think it's there.
The defense.
I think some things on defense.
Yeah.
And when he doesn't have any receivers, when Mario Manningham's still injured, he doesn't have anyone to really throw to.
That is true.
Well, you know, I'm an NFL genius. Everyone knows that.
That's I'm a fantasy genius. You're
that's
an
why
NFL.
I'm an actor. Dallas Eagles. I gotta say, I don't really care for either of these teams.
It's gonna be the Eagles.
I think it's gonna be the Eagles too. But I actually told someone today. I told my buddy who's a big Yankee fan. I was like, I feel like I should bet the house on the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl because the Yankees won the World Series, the Lakers won the NBA, so it's like you have to get like the storied franchises are going to win this year.
All is right in the world when the big franchises win.
So, but I do think the Eagles are going to win this game, though.
Yeah, Eagles will win. I think it comes down to I really think it comes down to coaching. I think Andy Reid. I don't
he's
think
a great
Wade
coach.
Phillips
he's
is
the worst.
Is a,
he's worse than North Turner. He's the worst coach.
And I love the guy. Anyone who watched the HBO, you know, the training mm-hmm. kit, whatever. I love that shit.
He's a nice guy. But
he's
I mean,
a nice guy.
He's
cuddly.
He's a good assistant coach. It's
absolutely.
Another example of that. He's a good assistant coach.
But I just don't think he has that killer instinct that Andy Reid seems to have a little bit. And So McNabb is hot. I own Deshaun Jackson as well.
Oh, McNabb is hot? Really?
And I'm talking looks. Purely looks. Okay. So...
Pittsburgh, Denver. Now, I'm going to say if Denver wears the throwbacks, because it's at home, and they should, it's a win. It's a Denver win. I love the throwbacks. Brown and
they're
and
so
yellow.
Heinous.
I love it so much.
Anything that mixes shit up, I'm for the throwbacks. I think they should do it every week, which would cancel out the throwback.
It would just be their jersey.
Let me go on a limb here.
Do it.
I'm going to say that the Broncos, having not recovered from their first loss of the season last week, I think at home they're going to lose.
Oh.
Yes, they've lost confidence in their 31-year-old coach. And I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on this. And I really don't have any logical reason. I don't think Pittsburgh is
Does it make you crazy when you see Josh McDaniels and you're like, I'm like a year, almost 2 years older than him. And I'm like, God, he is like doing so much with his life. Like he's like a head football coach. I live like in a one-bedroom apartment in Culver City. I make a kind of a good living acting, but I still work full time. So it's like, and I do comedy shows like all the time. And it's like,
can you add 3 years to that, and then you get me in my life? And
you just go like,
at least you're engaged. Josh McDaniels, he does make me look at my life.
But don't you feel like you watch him and like, God, like if that's like, I could not even imagine myself like coaching. A professional anything. I can't even see myself like running directing like an actual like professional film.
Or an improv group. Why would people listen to me? And this guy has the confidence, you know, like 31 years old. He has the confidence to trade away Jay fucking Cutler and not apologize for it, you know?
I like his savvy.
Absolutely.
That's a good word to use. Savvy.
And you know, leadership abilities, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd follow certain 31-year-olds into battle, sure.
He's one of them.
I guess so.
He is one of them. And there's another young coach who I just find crazy. I remember when I was coaching, I'll end with this little anecdote about the whole young coaching thing, and then we'll wrap it up with our two little games that we like to play at the finished line.
Nice.
But I was a graduate assistant when I was in grad school at Chapman University.
Of course.
The Panthers.
Yeah.
And we played against, I think it was University of Laverne.
Yeah.
Which is out in like the 909. And their head coach was like a former player who then was like an assistant. And then the head coach got into some kind of like problems and had to quit. And so he was like a 22-year-old head coach of a college team. And I was like a 22-year-old assistant. And he was the head coach. And I was like, dude, I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, I thought I could do comedy and coach basketball, and it just wasn't going to happen. But I was like, I wouldn't even know what to do if I like walked in to the huddle and been like, you know what I was doing last year? I was like getting drunk on campus, Like, there'd be, I'd want to be still, like want to hook up with every chick here, but no, I have to be, like, a fucking professional here, and, like, I wouldn't even know what to do. I don't know if people do it. Because even, like, in my opinion, if you're Josh, you can't, like, Josh McDaniels, like, can't, like, call up his buddies and go, like, hey, let's go over to the blank tonight and get fucked up. Oh, you no. can't do that. You have to, like, no, I gotta go home to my kids and, you know, be, like, a real person. Anyway, sidetracking there.
Are you done?
Okay. I'm done.
Okay, cool.
I'm done. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, America. So what I like to do is I like to play a quick game, and we wrap up here, Would You Rather. And it's where I ask you, you know how you play the game, correct? Would you rather do this or this?
Okay.
And it's supposed to be, like, kind of difficult.
Okay.
So we'll see. I'm going to try to do the same ones that I did to Cole Stratton and see if these hit you well. I'm going to take a stab in the dark. Would you rather the Lakers win the world championship?
Huh.
Or have a recurring role on Kelsey Grammer's new TV show, Hank? Which I don't know if you've seen.
See, this is...
But it's one of the worst shows on television.
You mean win a championship for the rest, you know, or just
like
this year?
Just this year.
I would rather have a recurring role on Hank.
That's what I thought.
I want to have enough money to buy Lakers season tickets.
So, that's what I thought you would say. So, would you rather Lakers win the title, or you get a co-starring role as the love interest? And by co-star, I mean you have to go to all, like, the press junkets and whatnot. As the love interest in the Hannah Montana sequel.
Oh, Jesus. How much money would that be?
It's you're like a guest star in a major...
A film?
A major feature, yes.
A feature.
Yeah.
I think I would take that as well.
Okay. So I thought
I'm all about my career right now.
Well,
fuck the
most
Lakers.
People. This is what everyone says, and then I hit them with this last one. And
okay.
This usually gets... Lakers win the championship, or... A buddy comedy, and that means you have to go to, like, every press junket with this person, like, maybe, like, go to, like, a couple festival screenings and whatnot. Like, you are seen as in a buddy, you're in a buddy comedy with Dane Cook.
I just heard him on Howard Stern the other day. He was not as bad as I thought, but I would pick Lakers championship.
You're everyone says that. I want to have Dane Cook on my show so bad.
He's not a bad guy. I just don't think I can handle it.
Everyone says it.
Wow.
I initially asked somebody, I said, Tigers win, Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl, or a buddy comedy with Larry the Cable Guy, and he said, I'll do Larry, but if you had said Dane Cook, then I was like, okay, done, I will say Dane Cook from here on out. And everyone has said, all right, so that's why I do that, and then I like to play a little quick game of word association.
Great.
Where I'm going to throw a name out, or a word. And then you just say the first thing that comes to your head. Don't feel like you have to confine it to one thing, but don't fucking vamp.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Kobe.
Brilliant, artistic, egomaniacal, thankful that he's here.
I got chills. Here we go. This is from earlier. Kurt Rambis.
Bummed he left.
Mm-hmm.
Workhorse. Not head coaching... genius, and probably won't be.
That's sad. Everyone in Minnesota just turned off. Ariza.
Love you, buddy. Thank you. Glad our test upgrade. Ariza, come back in 5 years.
Get him in a trade.
And go UCLA.
Yeah. Byron Scott.
Showtime, baby. Amazing year. You weren't in the finals when Detroit fucking, you know, didn't deserve to win but won because Magic and you were banged up. Apparently not that great a head coach after all.
I think he's good for a couple years.
Yeah.
And then I think he needs to get out.
Yeah.
Which I don't want the Lakers to hire him.
Good question, though. Interesting.
You're welcome. Yeah. And finally, we're going to end with Kyle Bowler.
Oh, boy. Oh, really? Can we have one more after
no,
him?
No, I like to go out on a low point.
Oh, boy. That's a low point indeed.
I do like to
Rams backup. Letdown. Bust. First round bust, but still around. He's doing something right in training camp.
He's making money, that's for sure.
Yeah. Go Rams.
Fantastic. You've been a wonderful guest.
I don't know if I have, but you really enjoyed my time. I feel like you're just saying that. But,
no,
but
you're great.
This is my dream, dude. This
oh,
is
it
like,
is.
Yeah, I mean... You know, that and being in a buddy movie with Dane Cook. I was lying before. I totally want to be in. But this is fun.
Let's plug some shows. So tonight you will be in something. It's an untitled musical improv about zombies.
It's our first one. We're extremely under rehearsed, but the rehearsals have been very good. So 11 p.m. Theater Asylum on Santa Monica, just west of Vine.
And then Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon one. Just on Sunday, this Sunday, our final Death, Lies, and Alibis with Improvatorium, improvised Agatha Christie style, and it's been a great show. Costume, British accents, murder, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, do you do anything that's like not as gay?
I'm just kidding. I just follow our leader.
I'm just kidding. Oh, heyo.
And you know what? Not really.
I'm kidding. I love the shows.
I would love to do an Uncle Joe show at the Groundlings with you, a crazy Uncle Joe show.
I know. I haven't done one in a little bit. It's been a couple months, but Jordan said you were going to get me in again soon.
So. It would be fun to do it with you, although I think we fit the same demographic, like the extra white guy.
The extra white guy Sunday Company alumni.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever did the show together.
Like, we may cancel each other out.
Yeah, I've done it with a bunch of girls. That was a great comment. Yeah. My fiance's listening. A bunch of Sunday Company alumni women, but I've never done it with, like, another Jesus. I've never done the Joe show. That doesn't sound sexual. I've never done the Joe show with another male Sunday Company alumni.
Right, right.
So maybe we can buck that trend. So, and you can also see you in a progressive spot.
Yes, the man purse spot. So.
Go on to abc.com and watch last night's episode of Private Practice.
Yes.
We just got a bunch of money from Disney by saying abc.com.
Absolutely. Cha-ching.
Go to the website. Knucklesandwich.org is where this podcast can be found, as well as